certainly thankful for the prayer that was offered up on our behalf. Would ask for continuation of your prayer for the short time that I stand before you this morning, that God would bless us to have a greater understanding of his word, that we might honor him and glorify him in all that we do. I just want to talk a little bit this morning, if the Lord would bless, about the church, the importance of the church. You know, Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, the Lord said, Thou art Peter, upon this rock, not on Peter, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We find there in that very statement that any church that's built, any church that stands, must be on the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ and nothing else. He is the foundation. He is the rock. And upon that rock, I will build my church. You know, we're not building the church. The Lord built his church. We're just blessed to be in it. We're just blessed to be a part of it. It's not something that we own. It's not something that we can go out and get. It's the Lord's church. You know, there is the universal church spoken of in the Bible, and some people get confused. You know, in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25, it says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it." That is everyone that is a member of his family. That's the church. Out of every kindred and tongue and nation and people upon this earth. Regardless of how much money they make, regardless of the color of their skin, God has a people throughout the ages from every part of this earth and every existence. And we need to understand that. But there's also a local body of believers is spoken of throughout the Word of God. And it's necessary to recognize that the God of heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ, has rule and authority over each individual church. He's the head of the church. He's head of the entire family, but he's still the head of every local congregation, just as we pray that he's the head of the church in which we assemble here to worship the only true and living God. We're told in Proverbs that chapter 30 and verses 5 and 6, every word of God is pure. He is a shield or a defense, if you would, to them that put their trust in him. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee and thou be found a liar. That's just one of the verses that we could look at where the Lord absolutely teaches us that we're not to add from the church or to take away from the church. We're not to add to his word in any degree, not to take away from his word. We're told in Deuteronomy 32 and 4, he is the rock. His work is perfect. His work is perfect. All his ways are judgment. Every way that he has is judgment. He is a God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. You know, down through the ages, there's been a lot of changes to a lot of churches, you know, and it's something to be concerned about. You know, I preached last Sunday on change. You know, there are things in our lives that we cannot change. We can go and try to change the look of our outward appearance, but inside we're wearing out. We're just like an old irrigation engine I spoke of. I said, it looks the same, but you know, finally on the inside, it wears out, the bearings go out, it begins to use oil, and you throw it in a junk pile. But what I'm saying is, it doesn't matter what it looks like on the outside, every one of us are getting older, we're aging, and there's not anything that you and I can do to stop that. But Paul said, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. We can change the way we think. We can change what we fill our minds with. But there are things that I believe that some folks have changed that they ought not to change. You know, we're told that the church is built upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. He is the rock. And he should be the center and the focus. He built the church and he blessed you and I to come to this place, together with our brothers and sisters to worship him. I mean, if you're here and you had a desire to be here, it's a blessing from God. There's no greater blessing in the world, I believe, in this timely world that we live in, to be in the presence of God's people and the Lord himself. I believe the Bible teaches that. Now, not everybody seems to understand that or grab hold of that great truth, but for those that do, they've been especially blessed in a way that other folks haven't. You know, we're told not to forsake the assembling of ourselves, as is the manner of some. That tells you that there's going to be a number of people in the world that will forsake the assembling of the saints. For whatever reason, it didn't say what reason, but he said he commanded us not to do that, as others do. And sometimes that's hard to do because we're crowd followers and we want to do what everybody else does. The Bible also says, come out from among them and be separate. So being separate and transforming your mind, it takes a lot of effort. But you know, and I know, as time has went on, the church has certainly changed. I want to read a verse concerning the church over in 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 3, I believe it is. Get 14 and 15. These things I write unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. Paul was writing to Timothy, and he said, I'm writing these things to you because I'm not able to come to you at this present time, but I want you to know this and have this information and understand this. But if I tarry long, and he said, that tells us that it's a possibility he might not be able to come to Timothy when he so desired to do so. He said, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God. You know, in the Bible, there's something given to us of how we're to behave in God's house and in his kingdom, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. You know, we live in a day and a time where truth is not nearly as important as it once was. In the old Baptist church, we've tried to maintain some things that have been passed down in tradition, and I'll go into that in just a minute. You know, sometimes we get hung out to dry in the idea that all traditions are bad. Not all traditions are bad, and the Apostle Paul will tell you they're not all bad. The traditions that he taught that were in Scripture and they were according to the will of God, he said to keep those traditions. But the church, if it is the pillar and the ground of truth, it tells me that truth is extremely important. If God was perfect and his ways were perfect and he set up his church in a perfect situation, then why is there always so much change being added to the church? You know, I read an article this morning, and I read it yesterday, and I looked it up again this morning. How long will I be able to be a Christian? This was a man in the United States writing this. You know, there are a lot of things confronting the church today, and thankfully, we still serve a God who is the same yesterday and today and forever. God understands the plight that's going on, but man has always, in his own mind, believed that he could help God make things better. You know, the Primitive Baptist Church has never been popular. We don't have the rock bands. We don't have many of the activities that other churches do. And I'm not here to put down other churches. I'm here to tell you that in the New Testament model, an example that the Lord gave us, we were to preach and pray, and we were to sing, making melody in our hearts to the Lord. That's what the Lord told us. No matter how much you and I feel like we need something else in the church, I believe if God had sanctioned that in the church, he would have put it in his word. He gave us everything in his word that we need to know. And no, I don't have all understanding of things. But in the New Testament, basically, the Primitive Baptist Worship Service is as simple as it comes. Now, I know that if you Google Primitive Baptist or you get on the line, there's a lot of things said about Primitive Baptists that are not very welcoming, you might say. I don't think those people know what they're talking about. I don't think there's a more loving church. There's a more inviting church. I don't think there's a group of folks that have more of a desire to share fellowship one with the other than the Primitive Baptist. Maybe it's a little less so than it was when I was a kid, but it was something that I seen and I felt among God's people all across the land that I didn't see everywhere else. We had fellowship, which was far different than the average church. I mean, that's why I've been to so many churches in the Primitive Baptist from coast to coast, far as that goes, in many of them. I hadn't been in all of them, but I tell you, they're all pretty much the same. But the one thing we have in common is we believe in the doctrines of grace. We believe in the truth. We believe that truth is one of the most important things that a church should exhibit. You know, there are many churches today that have risen up that are not even the traditional churches that we were aware of when I was growing up as a kid. And many of them don't have any doctrine. They accept anything. They just want you to come. But if you read about the church and the discipline of the church and all the things pertaining to the church, that's not a picture and that's not an example that God gave us, the New Testament church. Isn't it amazing how human beings sometimes just cannot stomach what the Lord said? and what the Lord said we ought to do and how we ought to do it? We've always, in every aspect, not just the church, we've always thought we had a better way than God. But God's way is always the right way and the perfect way. He said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. He didn't say, I'm one of many. He didn't say, I'm one of part of the truth. He is the truth. So truth is important. It's extremely important. It's something that you and I should pay special attention to, and it should be important to us. If God said it's important, it ought to be important to us. In the house of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. Truth needs to be expressed. You know, we're told that in 2 Timothy chapter 4 that, you know, the time will come that they will not endure sound doctrine, but they will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away from the truth and turn unto fables. People have a real tendency to do things they want to do, to make religion the way they want to make it. And friends, this is nothing new in the times in which you and I live. It's been going on forever. To stay pat and to continue on is not popular because we're not living up to the cultural demands of society. That's what's happening. You know, there are some here and some there who have decided that they can make the church better. But you see, Jesus Christ built the church on this rock, the rock of Jesus Christ. He is to be the foundation of the church. He is to be the center of the church. And he's to be the absolute focus of our worship service. It's not to be built around you and I. We can be blessed in the worship service. You know, I read something, and I'm going to encourage folks maybe to go. I didn't even know this movie was out. It's about the Apostle Paul. And I read Mike Ivey's a long review of it. He went and seen it, and it's showing here in Lubbock. And it was just amazing what he got out of it to read his readings. And I happened to read a review of it, and he talked just about what he said after he got through with it. He said, I thought I'd been persecuted. I thought I've had troubles. But he said it was nothing compared to those who gave their life and continue to do so in the fight of Rome, which was burning them to death, Christians, and all other things. They were putting them into an amphitheater with large animals, would kill them, men, children, and women. I mean, we don't know. We don't know what life could be like, because the 50 or 60 years that I've lived in, and most of the rest of you, whatever your time span is, that's life to us. That's all we know. We can read about the rest of it. Doesn't faze us, does it? But I tell you, in the Bible, what's come around or been around generally comes around. And this is nothing new. Churches are full of traditions, and sometimes those traditions can be good, and sometimes those traditions can be bad. I want to read from Mark chapter 7 to begin with, and I'm going to read the first 13 verses. Then came together unto him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes which came from Jerusalem. And when they saw some of the disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, with unwashing hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands oft or often, eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the market, they eat not, and many other things there be which they have received to hold, as washing of cups, pots, basins, vessels, and of tablets. I want you to understand, this is just a couple examples here. He said many things, and he'll say that again in this chapter. There are many things in the Jewish religion that they added to their religion, and it was more important to them than Christ. I mean, this is a great teaching of what can happen to the church in our times, because their focus was not upon the Lord of glory. It was upon what they wanted to do, the rules and the laws that they wanted to make. And unfortunately, if we're not careful, that's where we go. You know, the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 14:40, let us do all things decently and in order. You know, we're not any of us infallible. There is no perfect church, including this church or any other Primitive Baptist church upon the earth. But I tell you what, there's been a departure from the simplicity of worship, I'll assure you, even from the traditional congregations, and it's because they want to live up to the cultural ideas of the times in which we live. This is what other folks are doing. That's why I said last Sunday, come out from among them and be ye separate. It's one of the toughest scriptures that you'll find in the entire Bible. Nobody wants to be completely separate from anyone else. They want to kind of do what everyone else is doing. If they're doing it, it's bound to be right? But the Bible says not so. Not so. It goes on, then the Pharisees and the scribes asked him,
Why walk now not thou the disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashing hands? He answered and said unto him, Well, hath Esaias prophesied, and you of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. We've heard that quoted time and time again. You know, when you go to the house of the Lord, it's built upon the rock, upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. And when Jesus Christ is truly your focus and your purpose and your entire reason for coming to the house of God, then you won't just honor him with your lips. You won't be there. This is what the Pharisees did. They were more concerned about how they felt when they got out of the synagogue in those days, but it still represents a church, than they were honoring the Lord. Their heart was not there. This is nothing new. You go over to Revelation chapter 2 and you look at when Jesus spoke to the church at Ephesus, he has said, For I have somewhat against thee, for thou hast left thy first love. In other words, they were going through all kinds of actions in that church. They were doing all the things that they ought to do. They were attending church, but their heart wasn't in it. You know, the worship of God, he seeks the heart. And we could preach a whole sermon on the heart. The heart is deceitful. It's desperately wicked. That's what the Bible tells us. We've all had heart problems, and sometimes we continue to have heart problems. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. You see, they didn't like the simplicity and the plainness of Christ. Christ wasn't popular, but they wanted to be popular. You know, they wanted to be a big draw. They stood out in the corners of the streets and they prayed big long prayers to be seen of men, for that men might be drawn unto them. You know, the Lord was a picture of humility, and we'll look at that in a little while when we go through the foot washing service. He came to serve. He was a real picture of humility, which is something that is very hard to find in the world today, humility. Everybody's proud of something. But you know, the Bible tells us that the Lord hates pride. It's the number one thing in Proverbs chapter 6. God hates a proud look. He hates pride. That's why the publican went home justified over that great Pharisee's prayer when he said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He never would even look into heaven. He smote upon his breast. Humility is the lesson taught, not pride. And you know, sometimes it is pride that leads us to depart from the teachings of Scripture and to do the things that God said we can do. But I will tell you right now, the Bible makes it clear in Numbers chapter 32 and verse 23, I believe it is. It says, be sure and certain your sin will find you out. When we depart, at some given point, that'll come to roost. We may hide it from others. We may get along for a while, but it'll come. He goes on and he says, For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold tradition of men and the washing of pots and cups and many other such like things ye do. And he said unto them, Full well ye reject the commandment of God that ye may keep your own tradition. You may keep your own tradition. There's a lot of bad traditions. And when we depart from the simplicity and from the example given to us in the New Testament, I believe of singing and praying and preaching as the ultimate motive in the church, we went too far. The church is the pillar and the ground of truth. Truth is extremely important. It's necessary. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth. There is no other truth and there is no other way. And there is no other life that is abundant here and now, and there is no other eternal life except in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and he is the life. For Moses said, Honor thy father and thy mother, and whoso curseth father and mother, let him die the death. But ye say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is Corban, that is to say a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited, by me ye shall be free. And ye suffer him no more to do aught for his father and his mother. Now, to simplify what was said there, one of the Ten Commandments is to honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the earth. It's the first commandment with promise. But these folks decided they didn't want to take care of mom and dad. They didn't want to do the necessary things for mother and father. So they found a way out by their own tradition. They justified their own actions. This is a tradition that's that doesn't make good sense because it defies the very commandment of the only true and living God. It says, making the word of God of none effect through your traditions, which you have delivered, and many such like things do ye. You know, like I said, the Primitive Baptist Church is not a place that is real popular. Even when I was a kid and there was far more people in the numbers compared to the numbers of other churches, it wasn't popular. But I hope none of us came here to be among a group of people that their greatest concern was popularity. I hope you come praying before you get here, each and every time you enter into God's house, that God would bless us to be close to Him and to honor Him. That's what, if He is the center and focus of our purpose here in the church, and He is the foundation and the rock that we're to look to, then it's got to be about Him and not about us. You know, we may receive manifold blessings from doing what's right, from focusing on Jesus, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. That's where it all starts. It's not looking at what we can do and bring into the church and take away from the church. It's to do what the Lord said. That's important. It's extremely important because it's the truth. And it really does matter. Now, let's notice over in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We'll look at a few verses here as we move along for time's sake. It says in the first and second verse, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I have delivered them to you. We have two ordinances in this church, and that's baptism and the Lord's Supper. Foot washing is not an ordinance, but it's a commandment, I believe, that the Lord said it's what we ought to do one to another. Jesus said, happy are ye, and we'll get into that just a little more as we go. Let's go over to, I believe it's 1 Thessalonians. Read a couple of verses in the second chapter. Verse 15, it says, chapter 2, therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. There are things that Paul said, I'm going to pass down to you, Timothy, and to you at Thessalonica, that you need to continue to do, even when I depart. You know, somewhat, as long as I look back in the Primitive Baptist Church, there are things that we've done that I believe are scriptural. We're to do all things decently and in order. Now, we're not perfect. We don't have an answer to everything that there is. And I'm not here to declare that. But I don't believe that the departure from the simplicity of worship today that we see in so many of the churches is the direction we need to go. You know, as I said, there are many churches that have sprung up the last 20 years, mega churches filled with a lot of people. But yet, if you read a survey of Christianity in America, it's on the decline as a whole. This doesn't seem to be bringing back to the level that maybe we want. Maybe that's because Jesus Christ is not the center and the focus. Maybe man has become. See, I believe a lot of the worship services are man-focused. They're centered around the man and not around the Lord. All the glory goes to Him. Not some of it, all of it. There shall no flesh glory in His presence. That's something that we need to understand. If any man glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. We have no one else to glory in. It's real easy to glory in our good works. It's real easy to glory in our good efforts in this world and boast about all the things we've done. Pride is a real problem that we have from day to day in our lives. And it can exist in the church also. Let's notice what he says over in the third chapter of 2 Thessalonians. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly and not after the tradition which he received of us. Now, like I said, you have to study the Bible out. I believe baptism is one of those ordinances that is necessary, and it's something that we need to look at and we need to be concerned about. You know, I said we had two ordinances in the church. There is sometimes argument over who can be baptized. As Primitive Baptist, we believe that if you join our church that you need to be rebaptized. It's not because necessarily your baptism won't any good, but we're to do things decently and in order. If you allow a little here and you allow a little there, where do you stop? Where do you stop? There are some things about baptism that I know is right. I know certain baptism. I don't believe in infant baptism. It's not taught anywhere in the Scripture. Baptism is a profession in the belief of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it is. In other words, you believe that He died and that He was buried
and he rose to your justification. And one day you will be in heaven based upon what he did. The infant can't do that. There's no way out. That doesn't mean infants go to hell, by no means. But infants can't make that profession. There are those that, you know, don't. We believe that the Bible teaches that baptism is by immersion and immersion only. There are those that sprinkle. And I'm not here to condemn anyone, but I tell you what, the Lord of glory himself was baptized by John the Baptist in the river of Jordan, and he was immersed. He went down under that water and he came up. And it was a picture of his death and burial and his resurrection. When he went in that water, he went into the grave, and when he rose, he came out of that grave. And that's what you and I profess when we're laid under the water and we come out of the water. It's a profession of what Jesus Christ done to us. There are things that I believe are absolute truths in the Bible that I'm convinced. But there are other things, you know, that I can't clearly have as much convincing in the Bible. It's not that I'm convinced of anything else. Some things, at least to me, are far more clear than other things. You know, it's clear to me that you're saved by grace. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. That verse is about as simple as it gets, and there's nowhere else to go with it. I can go all over the Bible, but a lot of people believe that salvation's in their hands. It says it's not of yourselves. Either God didn't know what he was talking about when he inspired Paul to write this epistle to the Ephesian church there in chapter 2, or some of us know more than God knew. That's why it's so important to understand that the church is a depository for truth. This is where we find the truth. The world will tell you that what they think the truth is, but God said, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Many are wise in their own minds. Many are wise in their own thinking. But you know, God is all wisdom. He is all knowledge. And he is the truth. And the truth is certainly important. As I said, I'm not here to claim that I know it all. We as Primitive Baptists believe in baptism. We believe that baptism is a requirement, a profession of your belief in the Lord Jesus Christ, your love for him, and that you realize he died for you, and that he was buried, and that he rose again for your justification. And we believe before you can take the Lord's Supper, you must have gone through baptism. And as I said, we believe in rebaptism. I'm not saying we're a perfect church, but this has been passed down for hundreds of years. Maybe they've all been wrong, but the Apostle Paul said of the traditions he had to continue in those. There are traditions that we are to continue in, whether we have a full and complete understanding of them or not. We may become fewer in number, but I tell you, I believe standing for the truth, at least to the best of our ability, is one of the most important things you and I can ever do. And will we know all truth in this life? No, we won't. But there are things that we know are the truth that we need to uphold, and we need to uphold them in the church. And may God bless us to do so as we continue. You know, when it comes to the Lord's Supper, there's two things that we use that I believe I can prove in the Bible that the Lord said to use. When we break the bread, we use unleavened bread. We don't use leavened bread. A lot of people think that doesn't matter. But the Lord said that. Let's notice what the Lord said in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. In verses 6 and 8. Get over there. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. You know, we preached last week, and this had a little bit to do with what I was talking about. He says, your glorying is not good. He was telling the church at Corinth this. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? When we talked about transforming your minds and coming out from among them and being ye separate, so often God's children believe they can walk in the world and they can deal with a little bit of things that are not right. But he says a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. A little sin, a little of the wrong place, a little dirt. You know, we can't walk on hot coals and not be burned. We think we can. Purge out therefore the old leaven that you may be a new lump. As you are unleavened, for even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven,
neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. I'm telling you, truth is important. No matter how many people shun the truth, no matter how many people depart from the truth, I declare unto you that God says we need to worship Him in spirit and in truth. We're told that in the Bible, in spirit and in truth, to the best of our ability. Does that mean we know every truth? No, because you and I and no other church and no other minister is infallible. But I tell you, there are clear teachings in the Word of God that many have departed from. And I tell you, many churches have bowed down to the cultural regime of the time. Whatever's going on, whatever fascinates the human beings, it becomes a drawing card. Christ never set up that type of church. Christ set up a church that was built on Himself, upon His own rock, upon the foundation of Jesus Christ, and He was to be the focus at all points and at all times. None other. It wasn't to be focused on the preacher or anyone in the congregation. It was to be a focus upon Jesus Christ, the one who died, the one who was buried, the one who rose for your justification, the one who stood in your place and suffered the eternal wrath that God should have put upon us and separated us from Him forever and ever. We owe Him all the glory. We owe Him all the praise. The wine. Do you know that some people say, well, we can't use wine. We've got to use grape juice. Do you know that there is leaven in wine? You can go to a chemist and you'll find that. Unfermented grape juice has leaven in it. We drink wine because it has no leaven. It represents the pure, sinless sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. You and I couldn't make that sacrifice. You and I couldn't meet the standard. But Jesus Christ could. We use unleavened bread because there was no leaven in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we go to communion, we're remembering Him. We're not going there to eat. And if you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and we'll go there shortly when we have communion in a few minutes, you'll find that some of them had taken communion unworthily. And that can be in many cases. But in this case, the church at Corinth was taking the wine into the church and the food, and they were making a drunk fest out of it. It tells us that. They were drunken. That tells me they were drinking something fermented. It wasn't grape juice. It's something that had alcohol in it. You know, we can defile a lot of things, and we're good at it as human beings. But thanks be to God, my whole point in the church this morning is, as we come to a close, is that we need to stand up for the truth. We need to hold the truth dear and near to us. Because as time has went on, most of you are fully aware, many have departed the faith. Many have departed the truth. They have done as the Pharisees did. They have decided how they want church to be, and they don't want the Lord or anyone else interfering with what they think the church ought to be. So this is not anything new. We've never been popular, but I'm going to tell you something. Christ was never popular. He was never popular. He came to His own, and His own received Him not. And you know, when He went down the road to Calvary, there was no man with Him. He went alone. He went alone to the cross of Calvary, and He paid for your sins and hopefully for mine. And He rose from that grave, and there's an empty tomb. You know, all the pagan religions of the world, they worship someone that's still in the tomb. But in Christianity, the Lord Jesus Christ, it's an empty tomb. He's not there. He's risen. He's sitting at the right hand of God Almighty. And it's unto Him that we give praise, honor, and glory. That's the truth. The truth is He came to do a work, and He done it. And the only reason you and I are going to heaven because He finished what the Father gave Him to do. He died on the cross, and He paid a sin debt that you and I or no one else could ever pay. Not a partial debt. He didn't pay some of it. He paid it in full. And regardless of how we live or whether we understand that or even if we depart the faith, God cannot lie. He's true to His promises. Aren't you thankful about that? God cannot lie. What God said is true and will always be true. And may God bless us to understand that. And it is my prayer in this church that we will continue to hold up the truth regardless of how many may depart, how many of our young folks may not be in the congregation. We know that's happening. But I tell you what, I'm not going to depart from the truth. Brother George wouldn't have departed from the truth. And I thank those who are willing to stand for the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ and continue in that manner.